Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our anticipation series. We're talking about the coming of Mashiach, our yearning, our desire to see better days. So, this Mashiach business, how are we to view it? Is it a reward that comes to us because of the blood, sweat, and tears of so many years of toil and effort that we've expended? You know, like a reward that's inherently disconnected from the efforts that are invested and made. Or is the coming of Mashiach the sum of those very efforts? Is it resultant of the perspiration, the inspiration, the devotion, the commitment, the sacrifices that we, the Jewish people, have made over the last 33 centuries? Think of it this way. If you had to cross a river, so you made a raft, well, the reward of your efforts was the fact that you're able to cross the river. But if you're in the business of making rafts for other people to cross the river, your reward is a payment. The money you received is not inherently connected to the making of the raft. Obviously, if it isn't seaworthy and it can't get across the river, you won't be paid. But being paid for a job is very different than producing the results themselves. When the chef gets paid to make cuisine for people who will enjoy the food, the chef is getting paid a salary. The long hours in the kitchen aren't what he or she necessarily benefits from. That is to say, they aren't creating currency in the kitchen. They're creating culinary masterpieces, but they're getting paid for that. But somebody who cooks for themselves might have put a tremendous amount of effort, and then they enjoy the fruits of their labor, quite literally. The difference between the person who has a garden growing their own vegetables or the farmer who's selling the vegetables. The Arizal pioneers a fascinating approach to this very question. Let me share with you something that's found in the writings of the Arizal in what is referred to as Tame HaMitzvot, the reason or rationale behind the commandments in the Torah. In Parshat Bahar, with regard to the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel, the Arizal spends an enormous amount of time and ink explaining to us the uniqueness of the weekly Shabbat, the cycle in which the fields in Israel lie fallow, the Shemitah, every 7 years, and then the Jubilee, which comes after seven such cycles. And the Arizal breaks it up into spiritual quantum physics, explaining to us what happens in each of those instances and why the rules that govern how we observe these Shabbatot are inherently different. And Daf Kuf Tzadik Tes, in the commonly accepted version, which is page 199 in Parshas Bahar and Tamei HaMitzvot, the Arizal says this. He says, you must understand that we live in a world that is toxic. It's a world that's been contaminated, and it has to be purified and cleansed. There's much to say about this, and I really don't want to delve into the particular area of what's known in Hebrew as Shvirat HaKelim and Biru HaNitzutzot. Essentially, the world was a beautiful or perfect place, and it no longer is. We have a lot of problems in our world. And the problems are the result of a spiritual meltdown. And the challenges that we face are really about what the Arizal calls tikkun olam, not to be confused with social justice. Tikkun olam is Lurianic terminology for utilizing the material reality of existence for a holy purpose, thereby releasing and redeeming sparks of godliness that became embedded in the strata of creation. And there's a lot to say about this, but just think about the oil that comes out of the ground and the vehicle, the motor vehicle you drive. It's obvious that oil that comes out of the ground cannot be injected into your vehicle if you want your vehicle to last. What happens is that it has to be purified. It has to be refined. And if you drive a fancy car, you're going to want a higher grade of refinement, less toxins. The same is true of gold ore, or silver, nickel, or iron. What comes out of the ground isn't exactly what we tend to think of as bullion or raw metals. There's a lot of extraneous material mixed in, and it has to be refined. And that act of refinement is symbolic. It's symbolic for us on a spiritual level, where we have to use the physical material world. Much of it is toxic. And essentially, it's simply delivering a payload. The payload is the sparks of holiness. Think of the old spaceships. You know, they used to, the rocket ship that would take off with enormous amounts of fuel. And then the fuselage fell off and there was just a small capsule. And the fuselage was essentially there only to shatter or break the atmosphere. Once you got out of the atmosphere and you were into orbit, you didn't need that anymore. So, like the food that we ingest, which is really bad for us, and Hashem created this incredible thing called digestion, where the body is able to extract life-elixing energy that can be transformed into plasma and is able to renew life for us. And all the toxins have to be pushed out. If your system breaks down, heaven forfend, you're in big trouble. So these are examples of refinement. And the Arizal says that each and every single Shabbat is the result of the efforts we make during the course of the week. And he says, "Anu ma'alin al yedei tefilatenu u'ma'aseinu hatovim." We are able to elevate these sparks, and we are able to enjoy and experience a higher form of existence on Shabbat because of the efforts, the spiritual efforts we make all week. That is to say, our prayers and our good deeds. Things that do not come naturally. The kinds of activities that require courage, moral courage, stamina, the choice of the path of greater resistance in order to do the right thing, which is almost never simple, straightforward, or easy. So when we do that, and when we're spiritually mindful of the Creator, mindful of the mission and purpose that we've been endowed with, which is really the essence of prayer, to focus, which is the meaning of kavana, to bond or experience a sense of oneness and communion, to fuse ourselves into a state of God consciousness. It's the essence of tefillah. And that comes through recognizing that all of our needs come from God. And when we humble ourselves before God, and when we engage in this conversation of entreaty, asking for our needs, that enables us to become closer to Hashem. So what happens is that there's this weekly process, this weekly process in which we engage in trying to elevate the world, and then we eat the fruits of that effort on Shabbat Kodesh. Just like if a person doesn't cook or prepare for Shabbat, well, then you have nothing to eat on Shabbat, because on Shabbat you can't do that work. So too, spiritually speaking, if one is going to have an edifying, uplifting, and spiritually transformative Shabbat, we have to have toil, that avodat Hashem, all week long. And the Arizal says something incredible. He says, "V'zeh nimshach ad yemot ha-mashiach." This is a process that continues to repeat itself, and it continues until the coming of Mashiach. Ki, because, kisheyichlu lehidbarer kol elu. Once all this is complete, this weekly process in which we work towards experiencing Shabbat. So once that's complete, V'yutkunu levad, and everything becomes perfected, engineered with precision. V'yutzrufu, and then we're talking about refinement. V'yitlabnu, everything is cleansed, purified. Kol hatov v'hakdusha shabem, all of the goodness that's embedded, all the holiness that's trapped in material, ordinary, mundane, and pedestrian reality. Oz tishor haklipas beside sigim. Then they just fall off like toxins. We're cleansed forever. And then we enter into the messianic world. And that's why the concept of death and negativity falls away forever. V'nimtza. So the Arizal says, essentially what we find ourselves in a situation where is al yedei tefilatenu u'ma'aseinu be'olam hazeh, through our prayer, through our toil, through our efforts in trying to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this terrestrial, everyday, very dark reality. Anu yecholim levarer ulelaben. We are able to refine. We are able to cleanse and purify. The Arizal goes on to illustrate this in a number of ways. He says this is why food that comes out of the ground doesn't come out really edible. The wheat or the oats or the barley, it's there are stalks and there's bran, and there's a tremendous amount of effort that goes in to producing bread. But when Mashiach comes, the Gemara says that fine pastries will sprout from the ground. Precisely, says the Arizal, that is the paradigm. We are in the process of refinement. But once we complete that refinement, we have prepared for ourselves the messianic reality. It would seem that this is the source for the Alter Rebbe's really radical redefinition of how we should view the efforts that we expend during the period which is called Galut. In the 37th chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe speaks about the cleansing, the purification, the refinement that we are commanded to effect in Hashem's world, in the reality we inhabit. In the previous chapter, the Alter Rebbe talks about the time of Mashiach as the time of reward. But instead of simply describing the coming of Mashiach as an era in which we receive reward for our efforts, much like the salary received because of the toil expended by the farmer, instead, the Alter Rebbe says, you're not building a house for somebody else. This is the house you built. It's like a person who improves relationships and gets paid for that. Well, the reward is perhaps a good feeling, but he charges. I mean, he or she is making money. They're making a living off this. They may have a passion for it, but ultimately they probably wouldn't do it if they weren't getting paid for it. But if you're working on your own relationships, improving your marriage, the relationship with siblings or parents or children or grandchildren or friends, the relationship is the reward. The closeness we are going to experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Almighty God, the sense of oneness and intimacy that we will all enter into with the Creator of the universe when Mashiach comes, is not something that comes as a reward for our efforts. It is the result of our efforts. Says the Alter Rebbe, v'hinei, tachlos hashlemus hazeh shel yemeis HaMashiach, the ultimate goal, mission, and purpose, the perfection of reality, as we refer to it, the messianic utopia, which is the gilui eirin seif baruch hu ba'olam, a time in which godliness is revealed in our world, not in a cloud nine spiritual world, ba'olam hazeh hagashmi, in our physical material world. Says the Alter Rebbe, toloi b'ma'aseinu va'avoidaseinu. It hinges on, it is resultant of the efforts we make, kol zman meshech hagalut, during the entirety of the challenging and difficult exilic days we are still unfortunately experiencing. In other words, the purpose of creation is a perfected world, God's gorgeous garden. But that purpose, also known in the vernacular that Hasidus adopts from the Medrash Dira B'Tachtonim, the dwelling place for God, is essentially a description of a world that reflects the presence of the Creator rather than concealing it. So this extraordinary revelation that will happen in the future will not come as a gift, a payback. Rather, it is the consequence of what we are doing right now. And all of our efforts are fulfillment of mitzvot. And that's not an easy thing to do. Our devotion, spiritual devotion to Hashem, for the duration of Galut, that results in a consequence, the consequence of a beautiful, refined, perfected, transparent, godly world. Now, of course, all the mitzvot that are performed since the giving of the Torah in the 14th century before the Common Era, they contribute to this effect. But the Alter Rebbe specifically says, Toloi b'ma'aseinu v'avedaseinu, and the explanation that we have on these words of the Tanya is because specifically during the period of exile, and specifically in dark and difficult days like we're facing right now, the klipa forces, the husk or extraneous reality that Hashem created so that we have the ability to choose the things that vex and test and challenge us, are really strongest now. And as a result, the neutralizing power invested in a mitzvah is at its strongest too. The Alter Rebbe goes on to say, Ki hagoyrim schar ha-mitzvah, the cause of the reward of the mitzvah, hi ha-mitzvah be'atzma. Now, this is a modification of the words of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah, of course, is found in Masechet Avot. And there it just says, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Here the Alter Rebbe says, hagoyrim schar ha-mitzvah. What causes the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. I mean, the plain meaning or straightforward meaning of the Mishnah, as the Rishonim almost universally speak about, is that when you perform a mitzvah, which enables you to have a relationship, a closeness to Hashem, the only thing as valuable as a mitzvah is another mitzvah. So one mitzvah necessarily will lead to or orchestrate and assist you in doing another mitzvah. One mitzvah begets another opportunity. Much like the Rambam describes the promises of material plenty in the Torah, not as rewards, but rather as opportunities. Think of a person who wants to spend time with their children or grandchildren, and you say to them, well, what are you getting out of that? Somebody paying for you? Well, if you're a babysitter, you know, you're a nanny, you're filling in, watching somebody's children, I imagine you're getting paid. But if those are your children, those are your grandchildren, the reward is the time you spend with them. Oh, and by the way, the more time you spend with your children or grandchildren, the more time you invest in that relationship, the more you'll get out of that relationship. So it's really like the more time you spend, the more you enjoy it. The more mitzvot you do, mitzvah means, amongst other things, connection, a nexus, a link, a way for us to nurture a meaningful relationship with God. So when we do a mitzvah, we get another mitzvah, more opportunity to deepen and nurture that relationship. But the Alter Rebbe says something different. He's offering a far deeper and more profound explanation. He's saying, we're not speaking about a mitzvah leading to another mitzvah. He's speaking about the impact of the mitzvah, the consequence of the mitzvah is that perfected world. And of course, you might say, well, we don't see it. And that's true, we don't see it. But each and every time we perform a mitzvah, ki ba'asiyoso, by doing a mitzvah, mamshech ha'odom gilui eden seif baruch hu mumayla, we are able to actualize, draw forth, or disclose a revelation of divinity from on high. Lihitla besh begashmiyos elam hazad, that becomes meshed or embodied in the physical, material, the fabric of our common, pedestrian, seemingly ungodly existence. Now, you do a mitzvah and you don't see that. Think of it this way: if you build a network, but the network doesn't go live yet, the thing that'll power all those devices is the network. And the network takes an enormous amount of effort to build. And it's only the moment it goes live that all of a sudden, all those connections are suddenly working. If you want this in a more graphic way, if wireless networks don't appeal to your imagination, think of an enormous building that has to be wired, a battleship that needs to be wired. There's miles and miles and miles of wiring that has to be in place. And a whole team of electrical engineers that have to work on figuring out how to wire something like that. It could take years. And then finally, it goes live. And then all those wires are suddenly alive. So we're putting that system in place. It's kind of wireless and invisible, but it's being worked on. We are purifying every iota, every single pixel of reality is being cleansed and purified. And when we finally cross the finish line, it's going to go live. And the whole world is going to be aglow. And that's how Mashiach comes. Not as a reward, as a result. Mashiach represents, if you will, the renewal of creation, a reconstitution where the world becomes the Garden of Eden all over again. Now, of course, you might ask, if it's just becoming what it was, who needed all this? That's like spending $1 million to make $1 million. That's not called turning a profit. True, and there is a profit. The world will not only be what it was, but something far more precious and beautiful. But that's for another episode. Now here's the big question. Who cares? What difference does it make? I mean, I'm doing mitzvahs. I believe that there's a creator, and I believe that the creator placed me in this world for a reason. In the words of our sages, ani lo nivreiti. I wasn't created at all. I'm only created l'shamish et koni, to serve my master. So I'm here to perform mitzvahs. I'm here to do what Hashem wants me to do. Is it important that I be mindful in a messianic way? Do I have to be thinking about the fact that every single time I do a mitzvah, I'm getting a little closer to that reality? I'm building the future. And what if I don't think about that? What if, like a lot of people, they're thinking about their heavenly rewards? Or if I do mitzvahs, I'll enjoy life today. I mean, who are we fooling? The vast majority of people don't think about tomorrow in the Mashiach sense. They'll say, oh yeah, Mashiach, well, I'm sure he'll be here by the time my grandchildren come along. By the way, that's like heresy, because achakale b'chol yom sheyavei. And it's very difficult to live with this anticipation that Mashiach is coming now. It's very difficult, especially after over 1950 years of waiting for Mashiach to come since the destruction of the last Beis HaMikdash. At a certain point, you know, you get a little jaded. Okay, we have a great big challenge, but that's part of our Yiddishkeit. But how important is it really to think about all these things? Well, think of it this way. Here's a statement, a teaching from the Alter Rebbe in his magnum opus of Maimorim Lakuta Torah. And the Alter Rebbe says in Parsha Shlach, this is found on the Lakuta Torah on the book of Numbers, of Chumash Bamidbar, page 40, column 1. The Alter Rebbe, excuse me, he speaks about mitzvahs here. And he says, and I'm quoting, b'mitzvahs yesh beis bechinas. In mitzvahs, there are two dimensions. Ha'alef, one is. Ha'mitzvah atzma, there's the mitzvah itself. That is to say, lefi, because or for, when you perform a particular mitzvah, you're building that network. You're creating or facilitating a particular kind of divine energy that will be disclosed and make its entrance into our everyday fabric. So if you utilize a fruit called an etrog, a citron, as the Torah talks to you about, or you listen to the sound of the shofar, ayadei esrog v'shofar, he said, this is an avoda yesh la tam. There's a reason. Each mitzvah does something special. Each mitzvah enriches us in a unique way. By the way, annual mitzvot like etrog and shofar, they renew us annually. So if you had the privilege of taking the four kinds, the etrog and its kindred kinds, or if you heard the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, your year is different as a result. Now, the Rebbe says, here's a simple paradigm. Dugmas refuah usgula. It's paradigmatic of healing. You know, they say during the winter you have to make sure to take vitamin D. Why? Because you have no sunlight. So you're missing something, so take vitamin D. I don't know. That's what they say. Vitamin D does what vitamin D does for you. How about vitamin C? Oh, vitamin C does what vitamin C does for you. So whether you take them in vitamin form or will you make sure to drink all your milk or get your sunlight, however it is you're going to get that particular vitamin or that particular energy you need, you're going to have to have a range. If a person is high on vitamin D but low on zinc, he's got a problem. There's a balance to be maintained. Different foods on the food chart, for example, provide us with different necessities that we need to maintain a healthy balance, living with equilibrium. So that's one element of a mitzvah. Each mitzvah brings its specific gift, its specific enhancement. And then he says, "V'omnom b'china beis nikra mitzvah samelach." Another perspective is, all mitzvahs, they're equal. They're equal in that they are all the commandments of God. It doesn't make a difference what God commanded us to do. He commands us to do, so we do. B'li tam, forget the reason, the rhyme, it's irrelevant. V'zeo nikra mitzvah samelach, that's called the commandment of the king. She'en levakesh shum tam klal. Who asked you to look for reasons? Rak kabbalat ol, accept the yoke of God. Be obedient. Ki me'achar shemitzad etzem. Sorry about that. Ki me'achar, because shemitzad etzem merumim hu levadoi. Because the mitzvah is inherently beyond anything we could imagine, it's a divine thing. So that's a good enough reason for us to do the mitzvah. And the Alter Rebbe uses very interesting terminology here. He says, "Kemoilu nitztavino lachtav etzim." If God commanded us to chop wood, we chop wood. And the Alter Rebbe goes on in this moment to elaborate on the virtues and values of each of these approaches. But the question then becomes, so if I don't need to be mindful of the details of the mitzvah, I just need to know that I'm doing Hashem's mitzvah, could we argue that you don't need to be messianically mindful? You need to just focus on serving Hashem, and that's good enough. And if Hashem wants to bring Mashiach, that's his problem. You'll be very happy to welcome that era. But is it important to think about? The Rebbe says it is. And he uses a very interesting Rambam to demonstrate this. In the Mora Nevuchim, in the 51st chapter, in what the Rambam calls a ha'ara, a footnote, the Rambam says this: Haseichel, our intelligence, our consciousness, which is given to us by God, hu ha'maga asher beineinu lebeineinoi. That's what links us. Our starlink connection with God is our consciousness. Habechira biyodcha. You are given the freedom to choose, says the Rambam in his Guide to the Perplexed. Im tirtze lechazek et hamaga, if you want to strengthen that bond, that connection. Ula avodater asei, and you want to do for Hashem. Or, im tirtze lahachlisho, will adaktiko, if you want to attenuate or weaken that connection. And you can weaken it to the point of disconnection, he says. Laat laat ad shetafsikehu ase. Ein hamaga haze mitchazek ela b'haf alato b'ahavato. This connection with God can only be nurtured, intensified, and strengthened when we do with enthusiasm, excitement, or love. Walking in God's ways. And it's weakened when our minds are elsewhere. Bihitasek machshavtecha b'masha zulato. When you're not mindful of God, you're thinking of other things. You have other intentions or desires or motivation. A little bit later on, the Rambam says this. He says, I want you to know that. Kichol ma'isa ha'avodat halalu. All of these things, kriya b'torah, reading and studying Torah and involving in prayer, asiyat sha'ara mitzvah, doing the other mitzvot. He says, the purpose of all this is that we should be involved with God and connected to God. And therefore, if we're kind of focused on mitzvahs, it means we're focused on God. Or at least that's what it should mean. And therefore, says the great Rambam, im ato mitpalel, if you're praying, but you're praying b'ninua sfatecha, you're moving your lips, ponecha lekir, you're assuming the right posture. However, umechashev b'mimkarcha umekachacha, you're thinking about your business. Kore ta Torah, you are reading the words of the Torah you're studying with your mouth. However, you're thinking about the needs of your household. Mibli lehitbonen b'masha ata kore, without meditating and thinking about what you're reading. Says the Rambam, if that's the case, if you're doing this, kimisha chofer guma bekarka, like a person who digs a ditch, or chotev eitzim, or chops wood, min hayar, from the forest, mebli lehid bonen binyan, without being mindful, al tachshov shehigata la tachlis. Do not think that that fulfills your purpose. That's not called actualizing your potential. That's not called fulfilling destiny. Clearly, a person has to be aware of what he or she is doing. And so the Rebbe argues that when a person learns Torah, when a person is involved in Avodat Hashem, and this is, I'm reading to you from Lakuta Sichas, Chelichov Beis, the 22nd volume, page 76. The Rebbe argues, Agid daflernen Torah umbekayim zamitzvahs mit kabbalasel. Yes, of course. A Jew is required to study Torah and to fulfill mitzvot with obedience. Not because you like it or it makes sense to you or you can affiliate or relate to it. Why? Because that's what God said. Ken etrachten, a person might then, based on this idea, this concept, that you have to simply accept the will of God obediently. I says, can afkeminin it klal? So what do I accomplish? I don't know. It doesn't make a difference. Says the Rebbe, this is a big mistake. There is a clear lesson in the Torah, and here he cites that very chapter of Tanya. Is in Maaseinu v'Avedaseinu von Zman HaGolus, that when a person toils and wrestles with the challenges and difficulties that we find in our exilic reality, you have to feel that this is a planting, a tazria, that brings the growth, the gilui, the disclosure and revelation of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Ubemela, as the giluyim de la'asid, zaninitkem bazudir inyan. The revelation or disclosure of the future is not disparate from the efforts that we are investing to get there. Nor a hemshech v'teitzo for the aveda from galus. It is a direct result, an intended consequence of the efforts we make during the time of Galut. Imagine if a soldier goes into war with no morale, no motivation. What's his goal? Well, his goal is that the next bullet or missile he fires should hit the target, but he has nothing else in mind. He just wants to stay alive. That soldier in such an army can never win a battle. But soldiers who are motivated, who have a cause to fight for, that kind of sentiment saturates everything they do. When you're motivated to do something, it's a different kind of experience. My friends, we are battling. We are battling with the Yetzer Hara. We are battling with hatred on the outside and battling with apathy on the inside. We are battling our own fears and anxieties. We are battling our own lethargy, our seeming inability to face our challenges with enthusiasm, with passion, with devotion, with joy and dedication. We need to be motivated properly. We need to be mindful. Everything you do should have an intended consequence. And when we study Torah and perform mitzvot, when we do that which Hashem has ordained we do, with the right intentions, knowing that the intended consequence of all of this is that beautiful, wonderful tomorrow that we yearn for and await and anticipate, then that itself accelerates the process and will bring us into the wonderful new era of peace and prosperity, of universal God consciousness and worldwide goodness with the coming of Mashiach in our time. B'mehera ubi amenu. Amen. Thank you so much for joining. Please like, please share. I hope that this is a message that will uplift. I hope it's a message that will motivate. I hope it's a message that will enable each of us to serve Hashem with greater fervor, with intended consequences of hastening Mashiach's arrival. Amen. Thank you again.